I've been preaching on the end times. I have somewhere between 25 and 50 scriptures on the end times. The end times are throughout the Old Testament. The end times, they don't appear in the New Testament except if you hunt for them. And so the whole Old Testament is on the end times. As a matter of fact, it's the major theme. The major theme is not the law. The major theme of the Old Testament is the gospel. What you'd be surprised is how many times the Old Testament is referring to the last days in which we live. So many preachers are not aware of that. And so when you read Isaiah, or when you read Ezekiel, or whatever you read, it's always referring to these last days. And the problem with preaching today, is they mix up the times. They assume it's now. It's not. It's almost always related to the last day of the Lord. You've heard that. The last day of the Lord. In other words, the day of the Lord. And this one is going to address that. This particular scripture is going to address that, the last day of the Lord. So that, do not be deceived. Don't be tricked. The last day of the Lord hasn't come. This is not the last day of the Lord. Are you all aware of that? Mm-hmm. And I divide it between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament ends with Jesus' resurrection. And the New Testament is when he left at that midpoint. And he has not yet come back. So 3.5 years, get this down, 3.5 years, and then 3.5 years. The latter part of that week, the latter part of that week, 5:17. The latter part of that week is lived by the Antichrist. Now, there's always been a race between the Antichrist and the Christ. The Antichrist is the tower builder Nimrod, who was the servant of the Lord, who then twisted all the scriptures. You won't be able to see me there.
Probably come over here.
Yeah. If you can find a place over there. Because the Antichrist is building the Tower of Babel, which is the only other tower in the world. The Tower of Babel is the... I don't know how to characterize it. I'll say that the humanistic measure of how you please the Lord, good works. It's the humanistic measure. And so whenever you have mankind bearing fruit for God, it is never in the Spirit. It's never in the Spirit. Our age is the age of the Spirit. Our age is the age of the Spirit. And so even though in the Old Testament, they're all listed, some of them are listed, in the book of 11th chapter of Hebrews, that chapter is not the law-keeping chapter. It's actually the faith chapter.
Yes.
These Old Testament saints are saved by grace long before Jesus Christ. Long before. And so they're listed there, and not all of them, but some of them. And it's amazing how many believed in Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ. And so they're set forth in mixture there, but they're set forth in such a way that you realize this has been a lifelong, our life, a lifelong battle between the Tower of Babel, which has never been finished and never will be finished, never, never, never. We have absolute certainty on that. So the Tower of Babel will not be completed ever again. As a matter of fact, it was never completed in the first place. It was never finished.
Mm-hmm. You said this age is the age of what?
I think you said it was the age of the Spirit. Is that correct? Is this the age of the Spirit?
Yes. This is the age of the Spirit in, quote, you know, in quotes, meaning people live in the Spirit. They lived in the Spirit in the Old Testament, too. But they live in the Spirit now in a new way because Christ has come. So anyway, I've said to you that until today, it's very difficult to have preached on the end times with accuracy. I'm going to say it again. It's very difficult. And I say absolutely without question, everybody who has preached on the end times, prophecy conferences and so on and so forth, has mistaken the millennium for the premillennial, what we are now, right now. We're premillennial right now. And then millennial, and then there are ages to come. There are many ages to come. I don't mean ages like time, but I mean ages like world without end. Have you ever heard of that? World without end? So a lot of things are have not yet been preached. And so I'm going to preach because it's the end times, meaning the next thing in line is the scripture I'm going to read for you today. The next thing in line is not what's been preached, as though it were real simple. As though it were real simple. And so a lot of the preaching as current practice is, it's erroneous. It's not accurate. It's referring to the time of the millennium, not now. And so now has been 2,000 years now since Jesus. 2,000 years, and that's not it. That is not the day of the Lord. It's not the day of the Lord. And so what I want to prepare you for is that until today, we had no idea how it's actually going to work out. It doesn't make anything else inaccurate. It makes it inaccurate as far as details. It's not correct. You're reading it as though the day of the Lord is the day of vengeance. The day of the Lord is the day of vengeance. Vengeance means I don't trust you to be vengeful for me. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine. Because when we apply it, we might apply it too harshly. We might apply it too harshly. And so it's not, when God is vengeful, I'm telling you, you're going to mix this all up. When God is vengeful, he can be it can be other than what you're expecting. And so I just want to leave that alone for right now. When God is vengeful, he can slay his enemies in front of him. You ever heard that scripture? Come and I will slay those enemies in front of me. That's God. That's God. That's because God knows the hearts of men and knows which ones are his and which ones are not his. Okay? So it's our... sneaking in on it. All right, let's read. You're going to be fascinated by this because it's so many things here that could have not, you could not preach this until today, even if some have indicated it. All right. And yes, we're
First Thessalonians.
Right.
Second Thessalonians.
Okay. It's I'm sorry. I'm not even looking at the right one. And brothers, we beg you. That's the second chapter. And brothers, we beg you. This is Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And brothers, we beg you. So this begging is like a beggar. This beg you, meaning be careful here. Just be careful here. By the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and of his gathering together to him. Where is he? Where is he? Where are you during this time? You'll mix it up if you think when Jesus comes back again, you will not be where you are. You will not be where you are. Lots of scriptures on this. So you'll be caught up in the air. Remember, when Jesus comes back again, he said, you'll be caught up in the air. You won't be here. So, sorry for those of you who are thinking you're going to be here when vengeance, when all kinds of things happen. So, you will think that Jesus is coming here to rule and reign. He's not. Now, I know you're not ready for this, so I have to preach it as slowly as I can so that you can sink in and realize you're not going to be here. You're not going to be here. Yes?
So, and when he says that we're children of the day, children of the light, how does that play into the day of the Lord?
Okay. As a matter of fact, this is really powerful, what you just said. It's his brightness that introduces this day, the brightness of the Lord on the earth. The brightness of the Lord on the earth. Well, that's a good way of putting it. That's a good way of putting it. So, now. And brothers, we beg you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the day, that's the day of the Lord. That's not here yet. That is not here yet. This is coming right at the moment that wickedness has reached its zenith, has reached its apex, has reached its culmination. And at that moment, Jesus returns for the bride. But she's not going to be here. You're going to be ensconced away, however that works. You're going to be somewhere else and not here. A way has been made that the bride has been taken care of for that whole time. So you're not going to be in trouble at all. As a matter of fact, you'll be upstairs. And you'll be with the Lord in the air. It doesn't make any sense, but picture God in heaven. God. And then next will be you in the mid heavens or somewhere in the heavens. And then earth would be the Jewish people. We will rule over the tribes of Israel. You will rule over the tribes of Israel on the earth. Now, this is not all Jews. Some Jews have already accepted Yeshua as their HaMashiach. They're fine. And they'll be upstairs. But that group upstairs is going to then rule over, Jewish people ruling over in Jerusalem, ruling over the whole earth. So now you have four. God, Jesus and his bride. This is the marriage supper. This is the marriage supper. It's all taking place at this time. And then, on earth, as it is in heaven, but this one is not as it is in heaven. This one is not. This one is not as it is in heaven. So, there's Jewish people who are undecided whether their purpose in life was just to receive the Holy Land and then 1,000 years later turned it over, or whether some of them might be saved and some of them might not be saved. So these are difficult times. For you not to be quickly shaken in mind, that's one, nor be troubled, that's two, nor through a spirit, that's three, nor through speech, nor through letter, as through us. Six things. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. So, everyone here, don't be troubled. Everything is going to be taken care of, and you're not in charge. You are not in charge. You are not in charge. So, just rest assured that everything works out without you being in charge.
Amen.
And so, just absolutely, he listed it six times.
Wow.
Not by letter, not by, you know, this, this and that. It's us. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. And those who then are first fruits will not be here. Now, exactly as that's taken place, forget that. Forget that. But you will not be nervous. You will not be disturbed. Your worship for God will not be interrupted. So don't ever worry about that. So, I'm going to read it again. And brothers, we beg you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our gathering together to Him. Two things. So I don't want you to be hasty here. Just relax, because six things will be mentioned. And these six things are for you not to be quickly shaken in the mind, nor be troubled, neither be through a spirit, neither through speech, nor through letter, as through us. Six things. Nothing can disturb you. You will be safe. You will be secure. So is everybody clear so far? I don't want to hasten. I could waste weeks on this. This is so powerful. So, now the day of the Lord is going to begin. The day of the Lord is the day that He comes back. The witnesses have been, you know, decimated. They've been destroyed. But they're not. As a matter of fact, Jesus came just in time. Just in time that their bodies have been laying there for 3 days. And everybody's, you know, what are you going to do with these guys? Because they've been disturbing the Lord's program. They've been disturbing it because they're trying to beat off the bad guys. And so, actually, they're us. They're us. These are two witnesses that bear witness in the end times. And some have likened them to Robert and me. Not true. Maybe Robert, but not me. So, not me. Do not let anyone, as if the day of the Lord has come, as if the day of the Lord, it's not. It's just right now as He comes to earth. This is the first time. The second time is first. The first time that He came, then there's 3.5 years, that's over. Now that 3.5 years is over. then, just as it's about to build the Tower of Babel, all of a sudden, it's collapsed and Jesus returns. But what a time for you to return. You know, you shouldn't be here. This is not for you. We're just about to hook this thing up. We're just about to plug this thing in. Okay, just wait a minute. Just wait. It's too late. It's too late. So you understand what I'm teaching you has never been taught before in exactly the way I'm going to teach you. Because there are 50, 60, 70 things that all have to be taught, and I'm not going to teach them all this year. But I'm going to teach some highlights to help you to realize that this is now the time that we should be preaching about the next thing, which is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the next thing. That is the thing about to, and I'll give you a clue. You see today on television, what do you see when you're looking at television?
Junk.
Trump.
Rebellion.
Okay, you see Trump on the one side, and then rebellion on the other side. The rebellion is the key. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always throughout church history, the last 2,000 years, the last seven ages of church history has always been, always, that the kings of this world, the princes of this world, always fight against Jesus. Always. Without question. I've been reading the last 3 days of Martin Luther and reading Deuteronomy and reading some of the Psalms and so on and so forth. And it's so aware that the enemy is about to, another commission, you know, they're about to just lose it all. They're just about to lose everything because they feel that Jesus, I hope that guy doesn't come because he's going to show up exactly at the right hour just when they think they've accomplished it. Then it happens. You know, it's over. It's over. It's over forever. The immediately, and there's all kinds of things that happen here, but immediately the false prophet and the beast and the false prophet, two of them, they're thrown into the lake of fire. No judgment, nothing. Nothing. At least the devil is thrown into a lake of fire. But nope, he's not in the lake of fire. He's in a tube that goes all the way down earth. And it's got a hinge at the top. You open it up, and the devil falls in. And it's the hinge at the bottom. There's another angel right there. Two angels. And they're right there. And the one says, "This one going down?" No. Save this one. So 1,000 years, this devil is going to be there while we're carrying on during the day of the Lord. During the day of the Lord. So when you see these things happening, don't be shaken. That's the main message here. Don't be shaken. Just be knowing, you're going to be salted away. You're going to be completely safe without the devil. Without the devil.
Praise Jesus.
You're going to be caught up in the air. You're not. You know, I mean, I've heard many messages on this. And you're only caught for a few minutes and then this. No, it's not. I'm sorry. It couldn't be further from the truth. So you're going to be caught up there 1,000 years. Father in heaven, way up in highest heaven, seventh heaven. Way up in highest heaven. And you, he's all with his angels up there. God, angels. Down here, we're in the, I would say, the first heaven. I believe, from what I've discovered, that it's in the first heaven that Jesus is ruling right next to us. Right next to us, so that we're in communication. And we communicate then all whatever Jesus hears from the Father, whatever Jesus hears from the Father, he's communicating, and then we're ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. 12. 12. It's crystal clear. This is it's in Matthew. I think it's 19:25 or something. So in Matthew, it describes this. And so you'll be ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel. You'll be telling them. Now, these are not the born again. These are not the born again. These are not the born again that are already saved. We're up in heaven. We're the first fruits. Ain't going to change. That first fruits is not going to change, meaning some could be added in, but not anyone is going to go in there except the Lord reads their heart. He examines their heart. And so this is a long period of time. Don't think 1,000 years is short. It's short in this world, but in God's world, this is nothing. This is just part of the deal, the day of the Lord, because it's the day of vengeance. It's the day of vengeance. And when he's vengeful, that means he reads the heart. He reads everybody's heart. You don't know anybody's heart. You do not know anybody's heart. You can't. You cannot know that. But all you know is your own heart. And all you know is you're upstairs. I mean, how did I get here? You're upstairs. And you are ruling over the three groups below. Or the two groups below. Which is the Jews in Israel ruling. They've been returned to their first... when Abraham was first introduced to the land, you're going to go from here over the Euphrates, all the way up to Syria, all the way down into Egypt, and we don't know how far it goes. We don't know how far it goes. But anyway, it's a long business. And so that area, there'll be a highway. This is in Isaiah 19. Just read it. There'll be a highway between Assyria, up in the north, and then Egypt, down in the bottom. And it goes right through Egypt, through Israel. And there, all be worshiping the same God. All be worshiping the same God. Even those that are not born again. Even those that are only there for the land itself. Because we just came back for the land. Okay. It's okay. But you're going to be there 1,000 years. And so, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but this is so powerful. Do not let anyone deceive you. I tell you, the watchword for this last days is don't let anyone deceive you. Don't be troubled. Don't be agitated. Don't be at all disturbed by what's going to happen, because you're not even going to understand it. When it happens, you'll understand it. But you don't. Where are we going? Oh, we're going upstairs. Oh. So you'll understand when Jesus comes back, it's all glory for you forever and ever and ever. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know is you are safe.
Amen.
You are safe. I don't know if you that's meaningful.
Praise the Lord.
To you. You're safe forever.
That's right. Yes.
That group is never going to be disturbed. It could be added to, but it won't be subtracted from. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, and this is why, because that day will not come unless first cometh the falling away. That is in Hebrew, Greek, that is apostia. The a in front is like negative. So negative to postia. So you're You cannot, something is withholding the enemy from plugging in his plug. Just something is holding him. He's just about to pull it in, and then he can't. He can't. Something is withholding him. And I'm going to tell you what it is. This is natural law. The natural law. In the Hebrew, Moser. M-O-S-E-R. It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same as Moses. Moser is Moses drawn like. This is the Egyptian. This is the Egyptian. The drawn like this Moses that was taken away. So Moses was taken away out of the river, and then he didn't belong any longer to what he was being severed from. What he's being severed from is this big. Now he's going to be just this one here, Moses, all alone, isolated. He has no one with him, just him. And he's now copying down all this stuff and writing all this stuff. Moses was the one drawn out. And that's the same one this word is referring to. You will be those that fall away. You will be those that fall away. It won't be you. It won't be you. It will be everybody else. You're drawn out of this big thing called the world. The eyes of the world, the power of the world, the kingdom of God. This kingdom is not the kingdom of our God. This is kingdom of this world. This is our. We will not be fallen away. You cannot be fallen away. So you're drawn out of that situation that you were in, severed. He is completely separated out, completely belonging to God. Moses was faithful, David. He was faithful in all God's house. He did not make a mistake. I mean, we know he made a mistake. But he did not make a mistake, meaning in fulfilling his purpose. Did not make a mistake in that. But he did everything in the one sin brought up and so on. So he's not going to be able to go into the promised land. But it's okay because he comes in later through Jesus Christ. He comes in not by the law. He comes in by the gospel. That's why he's written in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that he didn't come in by the law. He came in by the gospel. Moses was a gospel believer. That's powerful. These things, I don't know how to share them. They're just overwhelming to me that when you finally read it in the true context, which it is, suddenly things, your eyes open up. So listen to this. And do not let anyone deceive you in any way, because that day will not come unless first cometh ethne, E-L-T-H-A, falling away. That's the first thing. So the way the Lord comes is when that falling away. As soon as that comes, boom. You know, it's the next thing. It's the next thing. We aren't there yet. We're almost there. I don't know how soon. But we're almost there. So I'm teaching it to you now so that you know the next thing coming is going to be that 1260 days. It's not going to be for, you know, 2,000 years or something. It's going to be soon. And that next thing that's coming is your resurrection. It's glorious. It's glorious. And now, after all these years of the two battles between the Tower of Babel and then Jesus is building his temple, you're the temple that he's building, and the Tower of Babel is the temple that man is building. So humanism is the evil. Humanism is the evil. And the only thing that you'll find out about these last days is that humanism only produces man at his best state, altogether vanity. Everything that's happening in politics today, everything that's happening in economics, everything that's happening in society, everything that's happening out there, including religion, all of it is going to be wiped away. And so when God comes back, he doesn't, you know why he delays? Do you know why he's building this up? It'll be 1,000 years to indicate. Okay, it'll be 1,000 years to indicate why the last 6,000 years have produced some believers, but very few have produced some believers. But in these last 1,000 years, that's an indictment on us. That is a signal for the last 6,000 years. This is something so powerful, so amazing, that the world doesn't even know about it. If even the world, even today, listening to the church, doesn't know about this. This is fresh. But it's always been there. It's always was there. And we read it, and we read it, and we read it, but we didn't understand it. But today is the day. And I'm not saying that because it's me. I'm just saying it. And anyone, the falling away, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the man of sin is the beast. The man of sin is the beast. Okay, so the man of sin that's about to plug this thing in, he just, something's holding him back, and it's natural law. If you reduce natural law, do you see what's happening in the world today? Do you see how black lives work, or well, all those things and all that nonsense? I'm just telling you something. That is a divine appointment on God, that rebellion exactly happens so that this thing doesn't happen. It's actually God keeping it. It's God keeping it until the right time. Until Jesus is ready to come back. He's not going to come back until this thing is over. Well, that's 12 and a half years. That was 12 and a half years. It's not happened. And so something is keeping it. Come on, another foot. Another foot is all. Come on. They can't help it. Because Jesus has it all rigged. It's all in order. Everything is in order. Everything is totally in order for you. Also, I don't care about your sins. I don't care about what things you haven't done or haven't done. I don't care about that. I only care about one thing. Do you have a loving, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Period. That's it. Amen. That's it. That's it. I wish there was something more. No, it's not. That's it. There's only two ways to go to heaven. Either keep the law exactly as God made it, or you failed. That's it. The failure is the law was written on your heart. That cannot be changed. And now everyone that tried to meet it through the law will fail. But everyone that tried to meet it through the gospel will succeed.
Amen.
I can't answer for anybody here. I don't know your heart. I don't know it at all. But you people are privileged. You're privileged. Because it isn't preached everywhere. It isn't preached everywhere. People have all kinds of motives and so on. This is to the death. This is to the death. Yes. So 12 and a half years.
You mentioned 12 and a half years. Was that?
You meant 7 and a half.
Did I say something?
You said 12 and a half.
Did I have? Silly.
I think that was 3 and a half.
Three and a half.
Misspoke.
3 and a half.
Sorry.
Yeah, just, I get excited.
Yeah.
Just skip that silliness. That silliness doesn't count. All right. Son of perdition, the one opposing and exalting himself over everything. Everything being called God or object of worship so as for him to set in the temple of God as God. Wow. This guy is about to seat himself in the temple. He's always had this in mind. Whenever he set up this temple, this is his last chance. He's got a last chance. He actually has another one. But he has a last chance. And so he's trying to set himself up as God. And he's going to be, it could be the caliphate. It could be the caliphate today. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference. You will not mess with Jesus Christ. You will not be able to make Jesus change his mind. You can't. You cannot. God himself has stationed Jesus as the Lord of creation, as all kinds of things, and he is that. So you can't mess with this. This is Jesus, the one who, you know, it's so much greater than I'm sharing. It's so much that Jesus is not only the one who designed this thing, he is actually the one who brought it all off, and it's all for you. It's all for you. That anyone that believes it, it doesn't make you better than anyone. It just simply means you believe it. That's all. That's all. So because you believe it, you're in. Because there's only two ways. Only these two ways. This way, do everything he says. This way, rebel against it. This one won't work. This one of you know, well, you didn't give me another chance. I wish I had another chance. There isn't any other chance. Well, you didn't make that known. Oh, you didn't make that known. No, it doesn't matter. It's written on your heart. That's the way it is. And God will not change his mind. What's written on your heart is to do everything the way God said it. Now, in this world, right now, you cannot live a perfect life. Everyone here is, I'm going to use a Latin word, simul justus et peccator. You are the same time sinner and saint. Everybody here. Everybody here, you sin and then you also serve the Lord. and it's that way. And that's way. It's because God is allowing mercy. God is allowing mercy. God is allowing mercy. God is allowing mercy. Before this thing is finally up, all in place. And when it's all in place, then he'll come back. So let me go on. In the temple, as God, this guy is going to show up. And he's going to say, I'm God. Showing himself that he is a God. Small g. Do you not remember that I told you these things? Wow. Paul has been teaching them in all his, if you read Paul, you'll realize he's teaching all these things. Peter is just a couple of letters, but Paul has described everything in detail. Described everything. The others are completely correct also. But they don't describe everything as Paul has done. Paul is the writer of the New Testament. Paul is the one that God chose. That was one of the ones that was the creme de la creme. He was the one that if you want to read scripture, just read all of Paul's letters. They're amazing. You read them and you realize, wow. And then some of them, like Jude, little bitty one, it's powerful. It's powerful. You'll read these scriptures. Ah, God, I wish I could teach this correctly. I wish I could teach this in such a way that you would understand. I need to read more scripture. Don't read it as though... Just read it like it says. Don't read it like I'm trying to become a Christian or something. Don't read it like that. Just read it what it says. Read what it says. Faith cometh by hearing. And if you hear it, then God can quicken it. You cannot quicken it. You cannot make God quicken it. But when you read it, Just read what it says. Just read what it says. It'll quicken into you. Your heart will leap at it. And all of a sudden, that was God. That was God. And then read it over and over and over and over and over again. This is the only thing that matters in this world. You can be famous or great or whatever, it meaning nothing. This is only for those that are hungry for God. Hunger and thirst after God. So then it says, and now, oh, I'm sorry, and yet being with you, and yet being with you, and now you know the thing holding back for him to be revealed in his time. When is the devil going to have his time? This is the time. And this is the end of him. This is the end of Antichrist. This is the end of the beast. The other fellow. What's his name?
False prophet. Beast.
False prophet.
False prophet.
False prophet. It's the end. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is their moment in time. 3.5 years, boom, it's over. And so, isn't it interesting that the false prophet is exactly the same name that Christians give Mohammedans? False prophet. He's a false prophet. He's a false prophet. It's not talking about raising up that guy again. It's just saying this false teaching is trying to rival Jesus in bringing about the kingdom of God, that is, either the Tower of Babel or you are the body of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. You are the, and in so many words, that you are all of that. You're it. You're everything to God. I wish you'd get this. It's powerful. Just read it. Just read it. Don't read it to get something. Don't read it, I'm going to read this and so I become a Christian. I'm going to read this so healings begin to flow in me. I'm going to don't read it for anything. Just read it. Just read it. Faith cometh by hearing. And once that happens, you're on God's side. This is too powerful. It's too powerful. And it's sweet. All right. Now, look at how it's characterized. For the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. What is it? It's got many, 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 many definitions. But I'm just going to give you a few. I could give you 10, 20. It's got many dimensions to it. But this is the mystery of this beast that you saw here, the Tower of Babel, and this thing that Jesus is building, you and me. You and me are what Jesus is building. He's building you. You are the one he's building. So you're being built up, and you're absolutely able to be perfect in this world. Now, do I mean by perfect, perfect, perfect? No. I don't mean that. I just told you. Simul justus et peccator. You're still going to be sinning and saying, until Jesus comes back. Then it's solid. Then the bride that made herself ready, she'll be the first fruits, not anybody else. Lukewarm Christians, not. No lukewarm Christian will be part of this. This is only for those that are ready today. Don't say, I'm going to postpone this tomorrow and next week. You can't. This is it today. And so when you're ready, that's it. That's it. There's nothing more. So when Jesus comes back, you can't say, well, I mean, are there any more? There's only what there is. We don't know. But all of a sudden, that group is going to accrete to itself other believers that are on the earth. Other believers that are on the earth, they're just Jewish people. They're just Jewish people. And those that down below them are the Gentile people. And they'll all be in order. Heaven, earth, Jesus and us. Then the Jewish on the earth, They'll be the ones ruling, but they'll only be the rulers. They're not going to be the ones doing it. And then those that are at the bottom, all of those could be saved. Some of those could be saved. I don't care about that right now. I'm not interested in that group. I'm only interested in us making it. I'm only interested in us making it. I don't know about any other group. I can't account for them. I can't say what they've heard and what they've known. But this is called the mystery of lawlessness. Lawlessness. Remember I said the natural law has replaced the spiritual law. The natural law. So the natural law cannot be replaced. You can never get rid of the natural law. It's natural. And it lasts as long as nature. And at the end of the millennium, that's it. It's over. But it lasts because it hasn't accomplished the thing that God originally intended for it to accomplish. And that is that you would be able to keep that law, not through the law, but through the gospel. That's it. That's it. How could Martin Luther, how could a man a long time ago invent all this? How could he go against the whole Roman Catholic Church for 1,000 more years? How could he do that? Is because he read the scriptures? He didn't read them trying to understand anything. He just read them. He just read them. And then he got converted and he said, I think I'm becoming a Christian or something. I don't know. I think I'm the only one right. I don't think there's anyone else. He didn't know about anyone else, but that's all he knew. He knows, but I'm onto something here. And his confessor didn't know what to do with him. He tried to figure out how to help this guy out because he liked him. But the truth is, Martin Luther was way ahead of him. Martin Luther was on to something big. Now, is that wrong of God to be able to reach an individual in this world and change him? Is that wrong of God? That is not wrong of God. Later, Calvin and Wesley and so on and so forth, all added and so on and so forth. But I don't think they are exactly like Luther. Luther had it from the beginning. He had it just from God alone. He didn't have it by sharing with his brothers and sisters. He didn't have it. He just had it. And he was able to translate the whole New Testament, old and new, Hebrew and Greek, in just a few weeks. It's impossible. The thing this man accomplished is incredible. So lawlessness then is the thing that tries to replace, and it's the mystery of iniquity. This is the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness. But you can't. You can't replace it. You can't replace it. This is too powerful. Now, I want to end up here, and I could go on and on and on. But lawlessness already is working. Already is working. When is it work? It worked at the same time as Jesus. Same time as Jesus. It already is at work. It's already at work. It's written to us. Only he holding back now, the one that's withholding, until it comes out in the midst. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Then the lawless one will be revealed. So you can tell, looking at, I'm not saying the people that are revolting today are actually the true ones. I'm saying it's just like it. I'm saying it's just like it. If this is not the true thing, is this going to fade away in a week or so, or it's going to go? I don't think it will. I don't think it will. But I don't care. I don't really have. I don't care about it. All I know is I think it's ready. I think this thing is about to be ready when the 1260 days is going to begin. I'm telling you about the future. The future is the next thing in line is that 1260 days. I don't care if there's anything incidental. Because God wants you to get your family in order. God wants you to get your relatives in order. It wants you to search out to see where your family is. Don't go by the world. Don't go by the world. One will be revealed whom the Lord will consume by the spirit of his mouth. In other words, his words. And he will bring to nothing by the brightness of his coming. This is the brightness you were asking about earlier. This brightness is that when this comes, when Jesus comes back, it's the brightness that's with him that will bring about all this stuff. And so this brightness that's with him is going to change your whole mind. It's going to change your whole spirit. Now, his coming, let's see, of his coming. His coming is according to the working of Satan. This is Satan, the guy that's thrown into the bottomless pit. You know, about that bottomless pit, after Satan comes back this last time, he's going to, I told you this already, he's going to swoop around us up in the air. He's going to swoop around us up in the air, and then in 1 hour, his power is broken, and it's over. Then he comes back to the pit, goes straight in to the furnace, to the lake of fire. And that lake of fire, I can go on and on. That lake of fire is like the sea before the throne of God. That lake of fire is absolutely known by God, is that sea. That's the lake of fire that was on the earth. That lake of fire is something that will go on and on and on. I want you to understand, God hates sin. It hates unrighteousness. It hates sin. You cannot compromise with him. You can't say, well, I tried my best today and so on. You can say all that, but the truth is, just admit it. God, I sinned. That's it. There's nothing more to it. God, I sinned. I was wicked today. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's it. That's isn't it. It's easy. It's easy to do this. You know, you're readily convicted of sin. But that's wonderful that you're readily convicted, because it isn't something fuzzy. It's something, you know, well, I did sin this morning. Boom. That God likes that. Just don't make excuses like in the army. You know, I made a mistake on that. Don't make a mistake. Just simply, whatever I did, I did. But don't worry, because God's not mad at you. He's never been mad at you. I don't care what you do. He's not mad at you. I don't care if you keep the law or break the law. I don't care. All you have to do is believe in Jesus, that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship. And now in this world, before that other thing happens, in this world, you were actually perfectly keeping God's will. Whenever something comes out and it's God, it's not you. It's God, it's not you. It's God. It's perfect. It's perfect. Not in the world to come. In this world, even before Jesus comes back again. Right now, your works are pleasant in God's sight. They're sweet smell. They're sweet. They're just amazing. Amazing. All right, almost done. Satan in all his power, all his miracles, all his lying wonders, and in all deceit of unrighteousness in those being lost because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. In order. You see, all of this is to let you know that just by believing, don't work at it. Please don't work at it. If anything comes from you, it was God. If anything comes from you, that was God. I didn't do that. It wasn't like, that was me helping out God. That won't count. That will not be a perfect work. It's perfect because you don't have anything to do with it. And so when it happens, just relax. Just relax and say, That was Jesus. Do you all make sense? Does that make sense? When you are following God, don't make it up. Don't lie. Don't pretend. Just be honest with him. God, that was me. You know that was me. Okay, he's okay with that. Just, if you have a fault, this is your fault. I always go to God with my fault. That was it. If you have a fault, always go to God. God, I think I screwed up. I'm not sure if I did or I might have. Maybe. You know, just bring it to God. Just get right with God. Don't ever bury it inside and, you know, squash it and so on and so forth. Just bring it out. God, just between you and me, I messed up. It's okay. He's not counting. You're not going to hell because you sinned. You're not going to heaven because you didn't sin. You're going to heaven because of him working in you. And says, in another place it says that you are, I wish I could get it right, but you are making a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three, are joint heirs, are joint with you in this work. And you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything.
Right.
You thought it was you, but it wasn't you. Just get that out of your mind. It wasn't you. It was God, because God is perfect. He only does perfect things.
Amen.
Already, I'm almost done here. And because of this, God will send to them a working error. A lot of people are going to be surprised because they tried to keep the law, and it's 99 point, you know, whatever. It's a lot. A lot of people are thinking, I'm helping God out. No, you're not. You're not helping God out. God is only interested in you surrendering to him. Just surrender to him. And he'll work it out. He'll work it out. Just he'll work it out. For them to believe the lie that all may be judged, those not believing the truth, which is Jesus, but who have delighted in unrighteousness. Could stop there. That's the end of the chapter. That was chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Very powerful.
Amen.
This powerful. I wish I could tell you the day of the Lord has not yet come. It's not yet come. But when it is come, you'll know about it. Because there's going to be a lot of activity based on the earth here. You're going to go up into heaven where a place has been prepared for you by the Lord, supernatural. Not like in the early church. In the early church, they did. They did have a place prepared for them, and they went there and they hid out. And not, if I'm not mistaken, not one Christian perished during that whole, when Rome conquered Jerusalem, all the Christians left Rome. All the Christians. I don't know. Maybe that's a mistake. Maybe one left behind or something. But I believe all the Christians, as far as I can read, is all the Christians left. And it's like that, only this time, you're going to be up in heaven. You're not going to be on earth. On earth is everything in the millennium is on earth. But after that, it's not earth. It's not earth anymore. The natural law is gone. There's only the eternal law of God. There's only the eternal law of God. That's the one that's going to examine you. That's the one that's going to examine you, test you out to see who you are. So it's powerful. I don't know. I'm exhausted, but I'm excited.
All of Psalms 107 will really go along with this.
Okay.
But 6 through 9, I thought I'd mention Psalm 107, 6 through 9. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And if you keep reading it, just the same
thing. It's the perfect. What you just said is perfect. When you read the Old Testament, it's all there. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, yeah. It's all there. It's there. Yeah. And they sneak it in. I mean, they don't sneak it in, but, you know, it's just in there, and it just comes out like that.
And right after that, they go back to their other thing. They sin again.
Well, I don't know that.
And
but
after that,
cry out again.
It's powerful.
And they keep trouble, and he saves them out of their distress.
Wow.
He keeps saving them.
Woo!
Keeps healing
them. Messing up, and then he keeps redeeming and taking care of them.
Because that's Israel, Old Testament, that's Old Testament, Israel, it's okay. He's merciful. He's just counting. Well, let's give somebody else a chance.
And more than one.
This is the enemy, and so on and so forth. It's not yet the time, but this time is about to come. And when it comes, do not be surprised. Don't be by any means deceived. Just be. Just hallelujah. God is good. Amen.